X-4, number 1B.
Now, we would come to the next column. The next column where we say, now we know that Christian Science treatment has to do with consciousness. It hasn't to do with drugs, nor with rituals, or anything like that. That which heals is actually the consciousness of truth. And that consciousness of truth knows the truth, and so ye shall know the truth, and that truth will make you free. Therefore, the practitioner's attitude towards the patient must be truth knowledge, truth and mind. So let's put into that second column, really, truth would be truth and mind. I have to put it on the wrong place, but you can put it in the right place. I just have no room here. So can you see what happens? First we go out from love, the practitioner, from perfection. Because we know that in Christian Science, we go out from perfection and never leave perfection. We are not going towards perfection. So the practitioner is that state of thought, of love and mind, where perfection is in his mentality. Then we ask, now, what is that perfection which he has? And so we come to the second column, that he has a knowledge of truth, a truth knowing, truth and knowing, knowing is mind. So truth and mind really gives us that symbolization of the true consciousness, truth and mind. At this point, we would have to ask ourselves, now we deduce again, to ask ourselves now, what kind of truth knowing is the right truth knowing? What do we mean by knowing the truth? It's not enough just to quote Jesus and saying, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have a definite right to ask now, what do you mean, ye shall know the truth? What kind of truth do you know? Because this verse from the Bible is used by every religion, not just by Christian Scientists. Every religion quotes this passage, and every religion has a different concept of what truth is. Therefore, we have to have a definite sense. Therefore, we have to define that truth knowing. And whenever we have to define it, we go through the word order and define our truth knowing. So here we come really to the big point of saying now, what do you contemplate in your treatment? Fundamentally. What we do is all only fundamentally. What do you contemplate fundamentally when you contemplate the truth? And you can say, well, I contemplate the truth from the point of view of mind, and then of spirit, and then of soul, and then of principle, and then of life, and truth, and love. And then I have a full sense of what it meant contemplating the truth. So we are going to do that too. And I just tried to speak for you. If it would be a colloquium or a seminar, we could draw it out from the class. So I tried just to reason perhaps the way you would reason and would say, now, if I come to the point of mind, what does it mean to know the truth from the point of mind? From the point of mind, truth says, the truth knowing would say, well, mind is all, perhaps, that mind is all, and that there is nothing. Let's just say that mind is all. Then I know the truth, capital T. When I know that that truth is the mind which is all, and I have a great sense, really, you see, that with that treatment I really touch everything that needs to be touched in that treatment. Because I can see that mind as all, the allness of mind, would take care of all beliefs, of all errors. So in within my consciousness, I would somehow culture that sense of mind's allness. Yeah. Would you still be able to follow me if I would introduce another category and would say, what do I mean by mind is all? In other words, you could go through the seven here, you see, and to show the allness of mind through the seven, and perhaps on, I don't know if you want to make note or just listen to me, doesn't matter, but if you want to make notes, then you would have to make those notes on a separate sheet so as not to mix it up here. Say, if we say, ye shall know the truth, and ask now, what is the truth? The truth is that mind is all, and what would that imply through the seven? It actually would imply, say, can I go now through the subtones, would imply, for instance, that mind, which is all power, is all powerful, that error has no power. Or if I take the subtone of spirit, perhaps I would say that that mind is real, and that therefore error is not real. Spirit is reality. Can you see? I would say that that mind, which is all, therefore is supreme, so, over every situation. Or if I take it from the point of view of principle, and I know that principle demands obedience and trust, I would say, therefore, that mind is the all-trustful mind, that I can rely on that mind, and therefore I do not need to trust error. Or from the point of view of life, I could see that because mind is all, it would show that that mind really is incorporeal, independent of body, bodiless, free from organic life, that mind. Therefore it has not to take into consideration anything what the body says, because all is mind, and that mind as life is inorganic. Or from the point of view of truth, we could say, for instance, because truth affirms itself, we could say, well, that mind that is all affirms itself as being all, affirms itself as its own consciousness. Or from the point of view of love, I could see that that mind which is all leaves no room for a fearful mind, that therefore there is no necessity of any fear, and therefore a fearful mind has no room in the mind that is all. Can you see what I have been doing? I've been contemplating knowing the truth and say, what is knowing the truth? From the point of view of mind, to see that mind is all. But when I say mind is all, I have to say what that all means. And so I can enlarge it even more. In this way, can you see how in this way we come to main tones and subtones and sub-subtones? And that's the way really the Bible and the textbook is usually written, that it has these great classifications and always clarifies step by step what it is saying. All right. So let's come back to our original chart. We come to the point of spirit in that column of knowing the truth. And if I come to the point of spirit, what shall I see? I would, I think, see that to know the truth means, from the point of spirit, that spirit is the only substance, for instance. That's the truth about spirit. So that spirit is substance or reality. You see that? So in my treatment, by knowing truth, truth of mind, I would say I know that truth is the only spirit, is the only substance. That spirit is the only reality, and so I would ponder really that reality of spirit, that spirit is the only reality, and then naturally you can go through the seven again. If you like, I do it. Would you like, or does it, yeah? All right, for instance, you see, you could go through spirit and say, all right, I know that spirit is the only substance, therefore matter is no substance, no reality, which means from the subtone of mind, I would see that matter is no factor in thinking, that matter is no factor in thinking. As a subtone of spirit, I may see, therefore, because spirit is the only substance, that matter has no substance. That matter has no substance. I go now once all through the matter, that matter has no reality, you see. From the point of view of soul, I may see that matter has no entity, no identity. That matter is never man. Has no identity, no entity, doesn't exist as an entity. From the point of view of principle, I, for instance, could see that matter is no medical system, no medicine, that there is no material signs of medicine. Or from the point of view of life, I could see, because spirit is substance, matter has no life. There is no life in matter. From the point of view of truth, I can see, because spirit is the only substance of reality, matter is not a remedy, neither a prophylactic nor a therapeutic remedy. Or from the point of view of love, I could see that matter actually is nothing and has nothing to say in the whole thing. Just as that. Because love is always all or nothing. So I would have contemplated truth and mind from the point of view of spirit as the only substance and reality. So we go back to our first big chart, to the second column, and come to soul. What shall I see, for instance, when I say, ye shall know the truth? What is that truth knowing from the point of view of soul? I would see that the truth is right above corporeality, superior. Always that sense that soul realm is superior to the corporeality, because actually all those problems are corporeal problems and says, I'm a body, I'm something. So in knowing the truth, we would always have to rise, so to say, above corporeality. So I would see the incorporeality of truth. We might put into that column the incorporeality or sinlessness of truth. But I think corporeality would even be better or bigger. Actually, I don't like so much in the treatment of knowing the truth. Can you see? You know the truth and you see that that truth is far above every corporeal sense, far above every sinful sense. That it is in the realm of spiritual sense, of spiritual reality, and therefore thought would rise, so to say, above the corporeal sense. And it would be able, naturally, to do it through the seventh. Are you not tired of going through the seventh? No? Okay. So here we give a treatment at the point of soul, and we would say that this truth, which we contemplate in our understanding of truth, we rise above what? First, the point of view of mind. We rise above mortal and sensual thinking. Thinking has to do with mind. So we rise above corporeal thinking, above the mortal sense of thinking. From the point of view, say, of spirit, we may rise above the material diagnosis, the testimony of the material sense, and say the body testifies materially to this and this error, and we will rise above the physical diagnosis. In a subtone of soul, we would rise above the sense that, so to say, drugs need to be applied and that they have efficiency, and would therefore change our standpoint from sense to soul, from matter to spirit, so that we feel that only the soul sense has ascendancy in us. Or from the point of view of principle, I think I would see, you see, that that truth is above the doctor's predication, the doctor's interpretation, the medical theory. And in consciousness, I would rise above that and see that really that diagnosis of doctors is just a human theory and not principles interpretation of itself. And naturally in life I would see something, namely, that we would rise above what? Rise above constantly multiplying and talking about disease. Constantly to concentrate and multiply and repeat the same arguments of disease. You know how it is when you are pain. You always talk about your body, it hurts now more, it hurts now less, it hurts now here, it hurts now there. And so that's the counterfeit of the multiplication of life, which says only multiply the good. And so here you would rise in your consciousness in contemplating the truth above that mortal mind talking about disease. In truth, I would just rise above really mortal sensuous consciousness and say that not the senses and the testimony of the senses can determine my consciousness, but that only soul sense can determine my consciousness, and is therefore that to which I should spiritually listen. And from the point of view of love, I think I would see that I rise above the whole body and see that I am the embodiment of mind. That there is no body in limited thought, but that there is only God and His idea. Something like that. Then you have dealt with that truth from the point of view of soul, of rising above corporeality, rising above the mortal sense of things. Okay? So we go back to our second column and look at that truth knowing from the point of view of principle. And what we could see there is really this, that that truth knowing must rest, so to say, on a scientific basis, perhaps. That that truth knowing rests on a scientific basis, or yes, let's perhaps say it like this, scientific basis, see? That we don't found our treatment and base our treatment on anything but science, but the system of science. Again, you could go through the seventh and say, what does it mean if the truth I contemplate is based on science? And I will perhaps say, from the point of view of mind, I will perhaps say that therefore my contemplation of truth rests on the law of God, on laws, and of obedience to those laws. From the point of view of spirit, I may see that my basis is always the basis of good, that I accept no other basis but the basis of spirit, which is good. I don't take any evil into account, that I don't believe in any frustration, but only in the unfoldment of spirit, in the order of spirit. And from the point of view of soul, perhaps, you can see that that basis of principle is that it rests on rules, on the rules of soul, which says that we must put more trust into God, into principle, than to anything else. From the point of view of principle, I would see that that scientific basis is showing us that there is a system of health and not a system of medicine which is to be considered. What is this basis of principle from the point of view of life? I see that this system and that base is not stagnant, but that it has an ever flow and an even flow of life, that that system is constantly a living system, not a dead system, but a living system, a living basis, a living scientific basis, and that therefore there is no mortality in the bodily system. Because the system of principle is alive, there can be no mortality in the bodily system. From the point of view of truth, I would see that if I base myself on principle, that is really bringing to the surface all the unconscious and subconscious beliefs, so that from a principled point of view, really, we cover every category of consciousness. Or, say, from the point of view of love, you know, where love embraces all, I would see that that system on which I build that truth is of the nature of love, that it is so all-embracing that it even heals unconscious error, latent error, archetypal error, subconscious error, collective error, universal error, all kind of error. When I've touched the basis of principle in its encompassing sense of love. Okay? All right, we stop here.